Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. The boys are back in the studio with some fan questions, with some basketball talk, with some baseball talk. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. Sode 331 coming hot at you guys in Sode 330. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tosmi, Noctisopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And I think this is the first time we're all back in the studio together for a couple weeks, right? Am I crazy?
Hasn't been that long.
I feel like it's been a week or two.
Couple weeks.
Well, we're back in the studio together today. We have a guest coming in the studio next week, which is super exciting.
Big time moves.
Big time moves to get back to normalcy. And we're also making bets while we're making moves. Toss, where have you been making your bets at lately?
The same place that I always place my bets, and it's betonline.ag, because they offer a variety of different props. And they also have the online casino that's open 24/7. Blackjack, fun game to play at their online casino. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Amazing. And I do remember the last time we were in studio together, it was, what was the Disney movie you hadn't seen that I was like, whoa?
Ooh.
Was it Snow White?
No.
Cinderella?
Maybe, I think it might have been Snow White, yeah.
Snow White, yeah.
I have not seen Snow White.
Yeah. I don't think you're, at this point, you're not missing anything.
No, I don't think so either.
Was it Snow White?
There was another
it was something else.
There was another one as well. There was one that you hadn't seen, and there was one that I hadn't seen.
And there was one that I hadn't seen. It was Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound. I thought I made the brave and bold statement of saying that I had seen every movie, which may or may not be true.
That was, I would.
And then you guys were like, Fox and the Hound. And I was like, I've seen it. And you guys were like, no, I
have not seen that.
What do you think's more of a guarantee? I've seen 75% of Disney movies, or you've seen 90?
I think they're both not guaranteed.
You think both are tough?
I think
slim pickings.
75% is probably higher for you.
Than 90 for you.
Yeah, obviously 90% is higher than 75%. But yeah, I think there's a higher chance that you've seen 75%. Too many chances and percentages thrown out there. But 90%, I'm sure there's some movies that fall through
and slip through the cracks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? These are a lot of chances and a lot of percents, but if you wanted easier and more digestible percents and chances, you'd go to betonline.ag.
That's right.
Of course. Well, speaking of betonline.ag, they've been with us through thick and thin. And you know who else has been with us through thick and thin? Our fans. And so we're going back to the pool doing some fan questions. NFL draft was last week. Question number one from Jason in New York. Peasant Bears, as he put it, or the Giants? The New York Football Giants. Who's closer to winning a Super Bowl? Nick, we'll start in your corner. Gun to your head, Bears, Giants. Who's closer?
I think it's tough because you want to know how Justin Fields is going to perform, and even if he's going to play to start the season. I would say looking at the defense, the Bears are closer. But the Giants have such an easy division.
Yeah.
And if they take control of that division, who knows? Maybe they can get hot in the playoffs. Man, that's a tough question. I'm gonna go with the Bears.
Okay.
I would say that the NFC North, hypothetically, could be an easier division in about a week.
Yes.
If Aaron Rodgers gets traded, the Detroit Lions are...
But I don't think Minnesota is no slouch.
Yeah, but neither is the Washington football team nor the Cowboys if their defensive picks hit. I mean, a lot of it has to do with picks hitting, right?
Yeah.
And coaching change on the defensive side of the football, Dan Quinn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say you know that Daniel Jones is the quarterback for the Giants, and for that reason, I'm out. Because Fields is an uncertainty, but it could be an uncertainty in a good direction.
Yes. The Bears have Dalton, which honestly...
It's a good backup.
He wasn't that... I said the other day, I was starting from Tommy, shout out Butter Noodles and his family, He was a good mentor. He wasn't a problem in Dallas last year. The problem was the offensive line fell apart for injuries,
right,
and the defense couldn't stop anybody. Now, let me pose this at you. You guys know my theory of the team I think should trade for Aaron Rodgers. And I think
it's the Giants.
I think it's the Giants. And I think I saw all the trades and possibilities. And for me, the Giants have the Bears, ironically, first-round pick next year. So that's two first-round picks they can get to the Packers. The one NFL exec we saw, some of these tweets make me laugh out loud. It's like one NFL exec, an NFL exec. All these NFL execs have different opinions and are like, he's like, yeah, two first and a second. Like, what does this guy know? Squattini, realistically. But I think that two first, probably two seconds, maybe a player, maybe like a wide receiver, maybe like Slayton. ESPN put it on. I actually thought it was a good trade offer. They also put Baker and such to the Packers or Rodgers, which is insanity. But I think it's a good option, and that kind of elevates both teams' chances. So if that goes down, then who's got a better chance? Is it automatically
that's for sure the Giants. You got Aaron Rodgers on your team.
Yeah, but now the Packers.
With a cast and crew of, I mean, obviously the Packers have Devontae Adams, but what the Giants have accumulated for Daniel Jones is incredibly impressive.
Yeah. But the question is Bears or Giants. In that case, it's the Giants.
Right.
You get the MVP of last year as your quarterback. Saquon Barkley is going to be fully healthy.
Hopefully. It seems like the obvious answer.
You've got Galladay. You've got Tony. If Ingram can stay healthy, he's always a weapon.
Shepard gets healthy.
Shepard. I mean,
technically, if Slayton still stays on the team.
If he's not in that trade.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're the bevy of weapons.
But the Bears are now the favorite, though, in the North. If that's the case. And so I guess the Giants are then inevitably the favorite in the East.
Of course.
I think it's one of those teams. The whole, not to like, I know we hit on it last time, but the whole Rodgers thing of the Broncos and the Raiders situation is absolute insanity that he would want to go there.
Is it crazy to say that the Packers still wouldn't be the favorite if Rodgers is gone?
Yeah. I think the Vikings are good. Not great, but good.
But I don't think it's as easy as slotting the Bears in to win the division like that.
Like the Giants would be.
Which I also don't think it's an easy slot in to win the division.
I
think the Eagles are bad, but I think that
the Eagles are bogus.
Let's not forget about let's not dwell too much on what happened last year in the NFC East, because these rosters have gotten better for Dallas and Washington.
The Dallas situation.
Dallas offensive line was
gone.
And the
quarterback
was
gone. They had nothing. Yeah.
Our best offensive lineman was like Connor McGovern. He's our backup. He's like our backup right guard.
Everyone's back. And Dak, I mean, number four is back under center for the boys.
Huge.
Which is first and foremost most important. I think this Bears team obviously had massive issues on offense, and which always leads to issues on defense. But we're not too far removed from a field goal away from a couple of years. Obviously, same with the Eagles, who are now in the cellar.
Right.
But we're not too far away from a missed field goal away from the Bears really going for a Super Bowl. Like, that was the year you thought they were going to win. We're not too far away from
that. I agree with you. And as it stands right now, I think we're all on board with the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, being closer. But I think if you really take a deep look at the question, it's neither of them.
I think the Bears...
The Bears have a great defense. At the end of the day, defense does win championships,
yes,
as they say. And it's a really dominant defense. Now, if they have an offense that can at least keep them off the field more than they have been in the last couple of years, then they might have a chance to sneak in as a wild card team
when
the Packers do retain Rodgers at quarterback.
Right. When you get deep into the NFC playoffs, you're facing some primed and incredibly impressive offenses in the NFC. You've got the Buccaneers, you've got the Packers, potentially we might see the Cardinals, whoever takes
Seahawks,
up that, the Seahawks or the Cardinals. Like, we don't know. The Cowboys, obviously, if they're at the top of the NFC East,
yep.
all those offenses are tough to deal
even,
with.
Even the Saints, if they figure out the quarterback situation.
and the Bears.
As long as the guy doesn't throw 30 picks.
The Bears can't hang.
No.
Offensively.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
They're a receiver away. For sure. But they do have, I mean, Cole Kmet, they have Graham as well. I mean, I think I'm looking for Kmet to make, maybe take that next step forward.
Yeah.
I think with, again, though, I think if you're Rodgers, going the AFC, the way you listed it, though, might be harder. The AFC might be a harder way to the Super Bowl through and through.
I think there's a lot of good teams in both.
There's a lot of good teams in general. So it's looking like that 17 playoff makes absolute sense now going forward in the season.
Yeah.
And it's kind of looking forward, like, I not to kind of, you know, we could kind of get into basketball now and move over to our next question.
Because Aaron Rodgers is going to the Brooklyn Nets.
Because he's going to the Brooklyn Nets. But I think the 10-team playoff with the play-in game was a big poo-poo by LeBron, probably because he may have to play in it, even though I doubt that'll happen. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's so many good teams.
Yeah, he liked it last year. He doesn't like it this year because he might be in it.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't like it either if I were in it, because there's a chance that you can lose two games as a 7 seed where before you were guaranteed to be in the playoffs and be out, which would suck. It would really suck, but I think anyone who's an NBA fan is like really, really hoping that Curry
get to see Steph
gets
now.
Yeah, I want to see Steph.
You get to see Steph versus Ja, who's gone out and claimed he's a top 5 point guard in the league, which I tweeted 5 guys. And then our buddy David Resnick tweeted at us 5 more guys. And like, we were like, okay, this is not even the case. But maybe eventually he's had some really sick games.
I like the confidence.
Love the kind. You need it. Number 2 pick. Got to have it. Going to Hawaii. Shaden from Hawaii. We haven't had one from Hawaii in a minute. This is
Aloha.
Aloha, Nick. Nick posted a photo on Instagram. Where was that? Was that Austin. In Austin? Were you drinking that Marg? You looked like an ad, man. You looked good.
Looked like an ad?
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought you looked good.
Thanks. You did look good. You look always. Also like you're about to fall in. I got really concerned looking at the photo because I was like, Nick, don't fall in.
One of our friends said she wanted to push me in.
I wanted to drop kick you into the water. But more than anything. But I thought you looked good nonetheless. Shaden from Hawaii. Who do you guys want to win the NBA championship this year? Now we're going to Taylor. Sometimes we do Taylor the questions a little bit. We're going to Taylor this one because it's obvious Nick wants the Clippers. I want the C's and Toss. Pitched me last night his 1% way, which I thought I kind of bought in to the Mavs going to the championship. It's not impossible. Now, who is the team?
1% chance.
Yeah, it's not impossible. Who is the team, Toss, starting with you, that you want to see win the NBA championship?
I think there are a couple of teams that I would really like to see win an NBA championship. We were talking before we got on the air. Nick agrees with me on this. Josh, I'm sure you're probably right there with us, but Chris Paul getting his first ring with the Suns. They're the best team in the Western Conference. It feels deserved. That would be tremendous for his career, his legacy. I was talking to one of my other buddies earlier today, and I was saying, I think Devin Booker might be a top 5 favorite player of mine in the NBA right now. He is so fun to watch, and I don't know if there's many guys in the NBA that move, that have such intentionality with their movement on the court. And it reminds me a lot of the late Kobe Bryant in the way that he does that. A lot of his game is modeled after him. So for me, the Suns getting all the way there, especially because they weren't able to do it in the mid-2000s with Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of that team.
Stoudemire, Marion.
It would be really cool. And they're also one of those mid-market teams. And that, of course, makes a big splash when someone like that is able to win an NBA championship.
I would say they're top 3 for me, but both my other teams are mid-market teams.
Hmm.
Mine is my number. I'm going to cheat here. I have 1A, 1B. My 1A is the Bucks. If the Celtics are not going to win it, I want the Bucks to win it.
You want Giannis to get his?
I want Giannis to get his in Milwaukee. I can't deal with the situation where he loses early again, and then all of a sudden it's the trade rumors. Is he going to go to Golden State? Is he going to go to one of the big market teams? And then Milwaukee is sitting there either having.
I don't think he's going anywhere. He's not no matter what happens. But yeah, those talks will occur.
It just is so annoying. And you want a team that's not one of these big market teams to find success. Even the Warriors, like, yeah, it's in San Fran. And ironically, you know, it's been a big boom in San Francisco.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't. Yeah, it was in Oakland as well. And they were an Oakland team. And they weren't. They were a mid-market team. And I think that other mid-market team I want to see succeed is Utah. Because you talk about the Suns almost getting there, not getting it done.
Yeah.
Utah had how many rings would Malone and Stockton have if there was no Michael Jordan? 1, 2?
2, probably.
Probably 2. They were so good. And so at this point, like, they're playing really good basketball. Spider's been out. He'll be back. This could be not their close to their best chance they've had in a long time. Definitely their best chance they've had in a long time. Maybe their best chance ever with if they get an LA versus LA first round matchup. Nick, to you.
The Suns are my number one.
Yeah.
Just because of Chris Paul and Booker and Ayton. I think they're an exciting team. And, you know, letting Chris Paul be the guy there, you know, opposed to where he was in Houston with James and when he was in LA with Blake and DeAndre, he can kind of be that vet and kind of just take over this team. And I think we mentioned, is it crazy to say that he's worked his way into the MVP race? I mean, he's probably not going to win it, but he's definitely put his
name in consideration, top five. Right? He should be top five in voting. They're going to end up with the best record. And traditionally, that means a lot for that award.
The issue is like the Nuggets have been so good without Murray.
Yeah, they're 9-1 in their last 10 games,
which is like a problem.
Jokic has it locked. I think it's worth noting
consideration for sure.
Yeah. He might finish number two.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him win it, but I think if he gets a ring, I mean, it's going to be so great for his career. Already a great career. And then my second team is the Knicks, just because, you know, they're historically so bad and they're finally making the playoffs. And we posted a really funny TikTok and it just kind of goes along with the trend. And, you know, they're a young team and it's cool to see Julius Randle play like he's playing. And, you know, there's some guys that really developed there. So I think it's a fun team. And obviously just bringing New York back to kind of prime basketball. I know the Nets are good right now, but it'd be fun to see those two teams battle it out in, you know, the conference finals.
I was talking to one of my buddies from New York, and they finally have done it the right way, that team. Like, I talked to my father till he's blue in the face about it every time. We talk about it every day.
Took a extreme culture change, and part of that came...
Head coach.
With the head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Yeah.
Coaching matters. I mean, you have in the locker room matters.
It's one of those things, like... There aren't many guys in the league that can do what Chris Paul can do with the team, where he changes the culture of the team just by being one of the members on that roster. Tibbs does that with every team he touches, for better or for worse.
I think he got a bad rep, and so did Jimmy for a point in the Minnesota situation. But those Minnesota guys were too young. They weren't ready mentally. Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns physically and as an athlete was ready. Now this Minnesota team, I'm looking at them like, stop winning. But D'Lo coming off the bench, D'Lo is like the best six man in the league.
Yeah, same thing for the Kings too. The Kings keep winning as well, and it's like,
stop. Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves, if they keep winning, they're going to lose their first round pick, and then they're not going to be able to make that jump.
Yeah,
they need Kuminga, they need Jalen Green, they need one of those guys.
I think that the narrative of, I find it hard to believe that the Nets are going to make it all the way through the playoffs, having all three of their big three with Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Especially with the injuries that have already happened to Harden and Durant throughout this year, and just how long the NBA playoffs are. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a really cool story if one of them, Harden or Durant, is not playing. I mean, I don't wish that either of them gets injured, but they're able to take that roster, just one of them with Kyrie, which obviously that's a tremendous amount of talent, and get it done. For both of their sakes, narrative-wise, from a legacy standpoint, KD basically like doing it by himself with Kyrie or Harden getting his first ring. But both of those would be pretty cool. I know they're a favorite and a lot of people hate on the Nets because they have Kyrie and Harden. And I'm traditionally not a Harden fan.
So hard to hate on them though, because when you were able to hate on them Heat, like those guys cared that you hated them. And so like hating them was like doable.
But the Nets,
they don't give a shit.
They want you to hate
them. They want you to hate them. So it's not fun.
Yeah, Kyrie got fined again for not talking to the media for $35,000, which is like, okay.
Talk to the media for 5 minutes and then give the
$35,000. You got a better story because he didn't talk to you than you did when he does.
Yeah, don't fine the guy. It's just feeding into it. It's just the whole thing of nonsense.
Josh, I'm sure, who's the team you least want to win? The Sixers?
Yeah.
Our boy Abe?
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck the Sixers, bro. But they're good. Like, I really want to see Giannis win it more, and I would really like to see, I mean, I would
You don't want LeBron to win?
I do, but I want something different. I just want something different.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing over and over, and it's bad for the sport. It's just not good for the sport. Like, the Tom Brady thing was different and fun, and like, oh my God, he did it on the Bucks. That's new. If Brady goes to the Super Bowl again, and I love Tom, it's going to be lame as hell.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it.
Yeah, okay. So the Suns for Nick and I, and the Bucks for Josh.
Yeah. wild turn of
outside of our team's winning.
Outside of our team's,
who we of course will be rooting for.
Outside of our team. And speaking of the Suns and Chris Paul, Pico San Francisco wants to know, is Chris Paul the best point guard ever? And we put out our list today. We put Steph at the top, caused a lot of uproar, somewhat of an uproar.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
We did. We touched on it. And we could hit on it again because it's a hot topic. But we won't spend an exorbitant amount of time on it because we did hit on it a few episodes ago.
He's not. But, I mean, and Steph isn't either.
He's my number three.
Steph isn't either. It's Magic. But when you talk about traditional point guards, pure point, Josh, what are you talking about, dude? You put Magic Johnson as your third player ever.
No, he is. Yeah. I did, but I think, were you going to say Nash? Like, where is, like, you're at Nash.
No, I just think that at this point, what I talked about, like, culturally, with Chris Paul and going from team to team, right, he's taken the Suns to the best team in the West, best team in the NBA. He took the Thunder, who had a lackluster roster, incredibly young roster, to the playoffs last year. Took it to seven games against the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
I just think what he's done, he's gotten there time and time again. There's been a lot of kind of mishaps late in playoff series for him. Some of them have been injury related as well. I just think that, you know, he's not, even if he wins a championship, he won't pass Steph. He'll never pass Magic.
He's stuck at three. He's, but he could put.
Yeah, I mean, I have Big O at three, but I think he can jump Big O.
He could put. Yeah, where we had Nash there, he could put Nash for sure in his rearview mirror.
I actually think he's already ahead of Nash.
What about Isaiah Thomas? Are we like?
It's just tough to compare eras for point guards because that's what's most affected by the era change. Like Isaiah Thomas was getting decked, like he was getting leveled, and Chris Paul.
I miss that.
Chris Paul hits guys more than. Guys hit Chris Paul.
Not that I was right. alive. Yeah, not that I was alive for that.
He's like, he's an artful flopper. He's incredible at it.
Yeah.
But I do think that as far as longest tenures in the league at a high level of performance, you're never going to find another guy at the pure point position who's a small ball point guard like Chris Paul. It's never going to happen ever again. Guys either get hurt. They can't. Their numbers dwindle at the end of their career. Like even Nash, when he was on the Lakers, at the end of it, like he was bad.
Done.
He could still pass. Obviously, he could still shoot, but he couldn't really move. Chris Paul has somehow. I mean, I know he went vegan a while ago, kind of in the same vein as Prince Fielder when he did it.
It matters.
He says it matters. So I
said
I believe
to someone
him.
The other day. It diet. Like you guys call me. People call me crazy, and I'm not. I can't bike. There's X whatever going on in the back. I'm not biking right now. I'm not doing this now. But the reason I've been able to not really work out like at a high clip like I usually do is the diet. Like you're not eating the meat. It can bog you down. And it makes for me, at least, I'm able to wake up earlier. I could walk farther. I haven't tried the running thing. But
this guy's he's a prime professional athlete.
And he's in the NBA and I'm on the couch. Like
when you get older, you got to make adjustments and he's made the proper adjustments. I mean, you look at Tom Brady too. He does the same thing. I mean, he's not going vegan, but he has made proper adjustments because he's not spring chicken anymore.
Right. And for Tom Brady, all he really has to do is not get hit big. Right. Yeah. And the rules have changed and it allows him not to do that.
Yeah.
But for a point guard in the NBA, your ankles can only take so much side-to-side movement.
And Chris Paul is known for having bad ankles, too, but he takes really good care of them. So.
Yeah, a lot of guys have had bad
ankles.
Well,
that's a real question mark for me for the Suns in the playoffs.
Is he
going
to be able to sustain 70 ever?
Because he's never been able to do it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I hope he can. Because if he's gone, obviously. Like,
that
oh, they're done.
That I don't want. I don't want to sit there and be like, this is so.
How many games are left in the season?
Six, seven?
Six, seven?
Yeah. They should let him rest.
Nah, they got to get that one seed, bro.
Because the Lakers could end up in the seven.
That seven seed is
you don't want
dicey.
That first round.
You don't want that first
maybe,
round.
Maybe give them like two games off. I don't know.
Or you want it? You don't.
Yeah,
want
they can win regular season games. It depends who you're playing, right? If you're playing a nobody who doesn't need to win,
let them rest for sure. Exactly. But you don't want to end up with the Lakers, the Blazers, or the Mavs. That's like a tough. That's like a sad. You give me the Grizzlies or give me the Golden Staters.
Yep.
Last fan question of the day. Who's the one player in any sport? Kind of all in the same vein today. Matthew from New Jersey wants to know, any sport, one player you want to see a ring who hasn't won a ring yet.
Well, Chris Paul, I mean, we could just throw that in there since we've been talking about
the
so
entire
much.
Padres roster.
And I think that we're pretty in agreement with that. But Mike Trout.
Oh, that's a great one.
He's probably going to go down as the greatest baseball player of all time. He's just stuck in the Angels system.
Quote-unquote Los Angeles.
Yeah, Anaheim, you know, and it's just very sad to see a guy like that not get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he's every year nonstop ridiculous. He's hitting over 400 right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Too bad Rivers would have been my pick. I would have gone, not even because I like you.
Yeah.
That would have been my now. Too late now though. That would have like that was my pick. My pick is Russ.
Russ is Russ Westbrook.
Yeah, Wilson. No, Danger Russ. Danger Russ has won. Russ Westbrook.
Yeah,
is ringless. He's the last. He. I would like to see him win one get one before Harden. I don't think that's going to happen. He gets so much. I mean, Melo, but I think Melo at this point is past the point where he's the one doing the damage to get the ring done. I'm talking a guy who's doing the damage. He's playing at some of his best basketball at the high. He's putting up crazy, ridiculous. He's like 24 assists and 21 rebounds. It's like so ridiculous what he's doing with numbers wise. But as far as a character, the dude gets so much shit and so much media hate and so much, he's not this. He is this. He's not this. He's that. He stinks. He's great. It's like so flip-floppy. It's so much in your face. Everyone's talking about you 24/7.
Yeah.
And he's still a good guy. He still gets the job done. He makes great things off the court.
He's averaging a triple-double. It's like the
millionth time.
I think he's a guy that's like very – he's an incredibly hard worker, obviously. That's translated. Talked about changing the culture of a team. Like, you've got Bradley Beal, who last year was leading the league in scoring too. He's doing it almost this year again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, without Russell Westbrook and kind of this second-half push that he's had, they wouldn't be in the play-in game.
Play-in game. They would. That team, that franchise, no Beal would be have to be. If no Russell Westbrook, that Beal is gone.
Yeah.
Now they're all of a sudden DeRozan is going to consider going there. There are players that could want to go to Washington and play with them.
And it's invigorated Rui Hachimura. I mean, he had a sweet dunk the other...
He's been playing great.
The other week on basketball. Anthony Davis, completely posterized him. And Daniel Gafford, that pickup for them was a good move.
Huge for them. Who's your player?
I don't know. I like the Trout pick a lot. I was thinking about... Is there anyone in the NFL who pops out at you as a guy who hasn't gotten it?
It's like Stafford, but like...
Matty Stafford, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, would be...
Do we really care, though?
He was there. He had it.
He had it. You blew it. Thanks for playing.
And all
I would totally say Rivers if he was still playing.
I would actually want Flip to win one.
The only other guys, you can't say any of these young guys.
Like AP?
Maybe. Maybe a guy like
a Melo situation.
Maybe a guy like JJ Watt, who has put in everything for his former team and just never even got close to really getting there.
Because their old head coach would go to prison.
Yeah, and maybe he'll have a cool opportunity on the Cardinals to have a deep playoff run. I don't know. Our teams where we're really excited about them.
That could be one of those things that blows up in our effing face, but I think it's plausible they have a solid run. And those are our fan questions. We'll go to all NBA teams. Three all NBA teams. This has been a topic. Toss and I, you've gone back. We were in our house. You've gone back. Our buddy Brandon, we had a group text with him. I'm a big proponent. Nick, let me know what you think on this. There's so many good players, and I hate giving everyone a damn trophy, but there's so many good players that I think at least give every NBA team like a sixth man. Like, hey, here's like the – because give it to 15 guys.
Yeah. You're saying like –
too skimpy. There's
like
too many good
All-NBA first team out of sixth man, All-NBA second team out of sixth man, All-NBA third team.
I'll rattle mine off and obviously shit on it as you will. Like mine is – my one team is CP3, Curry, Paul George, Giannis – Jokic. So the two guards are Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Paul George, and Giannis, the two forwards, and Jokic the center. Up until pretty much at the top of the week, I had Luka Doncic.
That's ridiculous, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
no, like I'm not like it's like objectively ridiculous. It's not me as a Mavs fan.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. But I would love to have him in there. So or have Luka in there and Chris Paul be my sixth man. That's why I would love.
Well,
Luka
can Luka theoretically. The real question for how all the all NBA teams play out is
can I get that guard forward?
What position? Because you're not putting Paul George as a forward over Luka, who can be a forward if you wanted to.
If I can do that, then yeah, 100%.
They've stretched the rules like that and prior. The only one you can't really do is you can't put
Jokic
as a guard,
right?
Even though he really plays around the rim, but he also plays from 3-point line.
You can't put Chris Paul as a big.
Exactly.
Then let me ditch him. Then let me ditch Paul George and throw Luka in there. I mean, I think I've said this to you.
Paul George has been sick.
Paul George has been epic.
I have Paul George in my NBA first team is Luka guard, Steph at guard, Giannis at forward, Paul George as one of the forwards, and then Jokic at the center. So I have
Chris Paul's not in there for you.
He's in my All NBA second team. Yeah,
it's that wild that Chris Paul is in the first team.
No, I don't think that's wild. It's I think it's wild because to put him over Luka and Steph is no one. That's not going to happen.
I'm not saying him one. I think Steph's one for me as the guards. It was him one, Chris Paul two.
Yeah, he's leading the league in PBG.
Points per game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Chris Paul, the standings situation, like what he did to that team. That team was not in the playoffs last year, and now they're first in the West.
Right.
Other guys take steps forward, and I get that, but I just think...
No, I mean, you have a guy in Devin Booker who, for me, he's not on my All-NBA third team, but he very well could be. The only reason why I don't have him there, and I have Donovan Mitchell instead of him, is because Chris Paul is already on my All-NBA second team. But you have two All-NBA caliber players on your roster, and I think that's why, to me, Luka and Steph are locks for the guard positions for All-NBA first team, is because without those two guys, their rosters are not playing in the play-in game. Maybe the Mavs are in the play-in game. Maybe, but I doubt it. The Warriors, we know, are at the bottom of the pack, right? We watched what they did last year without Steph and Klay.
Yeah.
It was abysmal.
Yeah.
So that's what, yeah. But I the Paul George love, I think, all across the board is got to be well respected. And
he's been a big reason that they've been staying afloat and like highly competitive. I'm making my adjustments as we're talking and listening.
Yeah, he and Kawhi both have missed around like 15-ish games, but all of the guys on these teams have missed games. The only guys that really haven't, Jokic has played every single game.
He's gonna win the MVP.
Yeah.
I'm cool with my thing of Chris Paul,
I think
Curry.
Randall's missed like two games or something like that. Awesome.
So I have Paul, Curry, Luke at the forward, and Giannis at the forward, and Jokic. Then I got Dame at the guard, Kyrie at the guard, Randall at the forward, George at the forward. Just because of games missed and like the defensive weight, I mean, I know it's insanity. I know he's not a better player. And
you have Gobert all second team. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. We're talking about Joel Embiid,
he's amazing. But
he would have won the MVP, though.
But their team's like, he's the second best player, or at times like the most important player. He could win Defensive Player of the Year again.
He probably will, because just of his pedigree. I think Ben Simmons deserves it more. But
yeah, I mean, look, if you go to real plus minus, I think where is he at? He might be second, Gobert. He's definitely up there. In point guard, Steph is the clear favorite. Gobert's number two ahead of Jokic. I mean, he's just so important on the defensive side. Now he's not great offensively, and there is that issue. We have to see, and then they don't take playoffs into account. And he's not the guy. He's not even close to the guy you want with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Embiid is the better player. Had Embiid probably played eight more games, then it would be a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I have Dame as well. That's where Chris Paul falls into that. Yeah. That other second All-NBA team guard spot. Then I have Kawhi, and then I have Julius.
Okay.
Because I had Paul George as a forward in the first team. And then I have Embiid. To me, Rudy Gobert is clearly the third center.
It's their best center. It's more of like a reward of like, hey, thanks for playing. You did great this year. Your team was not supposed to be as good as it was. It is, and you were the best defensive center in the league. So there you go.
Yeah.
For me,
I bring up the injuries and the games missed, and everyone's missed games except a few select guys. So because of that, I can't reprimand Joel Embiid too much for missing X amount of games. Because again, Kawhi has missed, I think, 17 games. Paul George has missed like 14 games. Like all these guys have missed a lot of games.
Yeah. Is it egregious for me to punish guys from where the games they were missed? Does that make sense? Like the games missed at the beginning are less important than the games missed then.
I don't think so, because Jamal Murray got hurt on a week where I think they played 5 out of 7 days. And so when I look at that, like outside looking in with some perspective behind it, and this guy could be out now for 8 to 12 months, I'm glad that those guys missed 14 games, 17 games for fear of... I want playoff basketball to be great. I want these guys to compete at their highest level for a championship.
Right.
So I'm not going to count against them for potentially being for a lot of the Clippers ones, it's like a little bit of load management. It might be like he's got a sore heel or something like that. Like with LeBron right now, he's a sore heel. He's out for the next three games.
You're going to the playoffs.
He could play if he needed to.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. But let me, my point is like, we're sitting there with George and Kawhi. Kawhi is the clear better player, but the George has played more games as of late and has really carried this team as of late.
I actually think you could swap them, and I thought about it.
So I'm like, my third team, am I being the biggest homer of all time for including Tatum? My third team. Is that the biggest homer move ever?
No.
Because he's been so, I mean, some of the games he's put together have been,
I mean, he's hot at the right time, too. He just scored 60 points in a game.
Most points in the second half of the season. All-NBA. All-NBA.
I think that with his just inconsistency and the team's lack of success, where they're not a top-four team in the East, and with Tatum and Brown, they should be. And a team like the Knicks kind of popping in, that's why a guy like Randle gets the nod, and he's clearly the only one on that team who's doing anything. He's got, really doing anything. He's averaging 25 points and 8 rebounds and 5 assists, which is tremendous numbers. You have Jaylen Brown on that roster. And for me, a guy like Zion, who has been there, yeah, gets the nod. And then I have Zion for my forwards on the All-NBA third team. I have Zion and I have LeBron. Because when LeBron has played for the Lakers win games when LeBron plays. And they never drop, and we were talking about this last night, they never drop games against those bad teams.
That
and
is true.
And the Celtics do. And there's games where Tatum disappears.
That's true. That's why I have Spider on my third team because of those.
Yeah, I have Spider and Kyrie. But I personally, like I just mentioned, I love Devin Booker. If Devin Booker gets All-NBA third team, I'll be happy because I want him to. I just think realistically Devin Mitchell Donovan Mitchell will get the nod.
Best player in the league. My snubs are Kawhi, Booker, Beal, LeBron, and shout out to his family, Sabonis. He's a guy that never gets. I just want to give him love because he never gets enough love. No one gives two shits about the Pacers, I feel.
And they're still in the hunt.
And they're still in the Kareem hunt.
I think you have to mention in there, okay, so if this guy, who's I think a guard forward and could be slotted in as a guard, I would like to see Jimmy Butler get an All-NBA nod. He is incredible.
Can I say that I don't want to give it to Kawhi and I don't want to give it to LeBron. If I were to take Tatum out, I'd want to put in Butler.
I think that's completely fair. Okay. I think he should be right. Like Tatum and Butler are my guys that should be right there.
And you're out on Trae Young. You think he should kick rocks?
No, he should be mentioned in that group of guys. Okay. Behind that, he's where Sabonis is. He's okay. Where Booker hypothetically could be.
They're playing great, but I don't necessarily think it's all because of him.
Yeah, I mean, look. Thankfully, Clint Capella is getting a lot of love, and he should be because he's a beast. You want to talk about third best center? He gives Gobert a run for his money.
He's the fourth best center in the league, I'd say, right now for playing.
For just doing his, he just does his job. He gets a ton of boards. He blocks shots around the rim and he finishes. That's all you need him to do.
He's great.
Yeah,
he's a beast. Anybody we left? Nick, you want to throw anybody into the mix? Any shout outs to their families?
No, I think you guys. You think it's
our buddy Brandon mentioned Jaylen Brown. He said he should.
He's a homer. He's a homer.
Jaylen Brown's been homer. He's been great this year though.
Love him. Love Jaylen. I think Jaylen is a smarter player, makes less mistakes than Jason. But when both of them are at their absolute best, give me numbers. Give me the new Agent Zero. Give me the new Agent Zero. He's taken over. He's Daniel Craig. Gilbert Arenas was Pierce Brosnan. What is it? Bronson? Brosnan?
Brosnan.
Brosnan. Yeah. I had it. That's the switch up.
But Daniel Craig is like, I feel like Daniel Craig, when he got James Bond, he was older than Pierce Brosnan was. At that time.
Those Bonds blew.
He was old coming into it, though.
Daniel Craig is such a better Bond than
Pierce Brosnan. Are we going to get like a young Bond? You know how like we were talking about this the other day, where Batman is younger with Pattinson? Are we going to get like a young Bond?
I don't think so.
Why are we of like
they have
Holland?
So many, they have so many parameters for casting Bond.
What are they?
It's got to be like an English person. I feel like it's got to be like over the age of like 35.
Per the books, he's like always.
Yeah, he's also had to see some shit. Like we can't be throwing Tom Holland's ass in here.
There's no way Tom Holland gets Bond.
That's why we're saying young. I think
not that. Like, I don't mean that young.
Who? You mean like Cillian Murphy young? Right?
Is that how old is he?
I think he's around the age. He's about 40. He just looks good.
I don't know why we're like, obviously Hardy's too.
Who it was for a while it was mentioned that Hiddleston.
Why is like Hiddleston not no. why does
Hiddleston and Cillian Murphy have to be around the same age?
Yeah, Killian's 44.
Why are we why are we dancing?
I even think that under 40 is too young.
I think it's reasonable.
I think it's reasonable.
Because Craig's in his 50s.
He has to be some sort of debonair.
Here we go. Here's a call.
Was he? Yeah.
and he has a couple more years, and maybe we need like Craig to kind of just like fall off the map a little bit or just get older enough where he's done playing it, and then they give Daniel Kaluuya the nod.
No, I'm so for that. And we were talking about having Idris Elba do it, but right. they say he's too old now.
I think right. it's over the hill.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Daniel Kaluuya?
Kaluuya is, what, is he 32? He's like 32.
Around there, like yeah. early 30s?
He's just, I think he's
look,
just.
Look, he can get toned.
I think I think he's the bad guy. Like, he's the bad guy. Like, he could get to that place where he's like the bad guy.
But they threw Rami Malek in as the bad guy, and I haven't heard anything about the performance. Because I think it wasn't good.
I think Rami Malek.
Forget the bad guy. You got to get Bond
first. Is it crazy that I'm saying Rami Malek's
overrated?
It hit or miss for me, yeah.
He's overrated, I think.
He's awesome in Mr. Robot.
Yes. Season one.
And he's awesome in Bohemian Rhapsody.
He's good in Bohemian Rhapsody.
But he's not good in The Little Things.
He's better in Mr. Robot.
Is he that much better than Taron Egerton, who, let's hold the phone, could be Bond one day?
He definitely could be.
Is he that much better than him when he was Elton John? Like, that much better? Or people just like Queen more?
I think that Rami committed more to the Freddie Mercury character. That's like a more outlandish character than I think
he's also. It's like an artist though. He's also dead.
He's dead. And
I think people give a shit more.
Speech impediment.
I think people care, and it's a harder character.
It's a harder character
to play. That's fair. But Elton John ain't no slouch.
And Elton John loved Taron Egerton's performance as Elton John.
Yeah, I'm sure Freddie Mercury would have been over the moon. I mean, Rami Malek
crushed it. Over the moon? Mercury over the moon?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got a sleeper for
James Bond.
For James Bond. Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's English.
He's British?
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Actually?
Wow. Yeah, and he's 30. For those of you who don't know, it's Kick-Ass.
He was amazing.
Nocturnal Animals.
Nocturnal Animals.
He was so good.
He's
so
in the newest rendition of Godzilla with Cranston. He's the main character in that.
He used to come into the restaurant that we waited.
Give it a few years, and I feel like he can make a play.
I think
he's
a talented actor.
Yeah.
Is he always going to have too boyish of a face? No. That's my question.
No, I don't think so.
Can we give it to Pattinson, or is it like too much, dude?
That's too much.
It's too much. Like, can't be Batman and this guy.
He would crush it, though.
You're a big... Is that your new guy?
He's fantastic.
I feel like you've been on about it.
I think there's a lot of guys... I think Kaluuya is another guy that is incredibly talented.
That we like.
We've seen a lot more of Robert Pattinson, right? He's gotten the opportunity a lot more. Mm-hmm. But I think...
I would like someone of color to be Bond.
That would be amazing. You know what? Here's a real curveball. You might be seeing a Phoebe Waller-Bridge's Bond. Someone like that.
What? Like a chick?
You might see it.
That'd be cool.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge's. She needs to do Fleabag first.
What about Riz Ahmed?
Riz Ahmed is an interesting... I loved him in Sound of Metal.
He's British as well?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's excellent. He's excellent. Night of, he was great. Night of, he's cash. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy... Who's the priest in... The priest in...
Andrew...
Andrew something.
Yeah.
Other. He's great.
From Fleabag? The priest?
Have you seen Fleabag?
Oh, yeah. Andrew, why am I...
Who has the hilarious scene in...
He's amazing.
1917, where he has, like, the cigarette fumbling.
Which apparently they couldn't... You know how many times they had to film that?
Like, a ton of times,
because he couldn't get the cigarette lit.
Andrew Scott.
Luckily, that was in, like, the first 12 minutes of the movie.
Imagine, so, like...
He'd be the first openly gay James Bond.
Oh, you know who else could do it? Is he openly gay?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Learning so much in the show today.
He's an incredible actor. Yeah. She's great in Sherlock across from Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch could be another guy. Then you've also got...
He's Sherlock, though.
He's Sherlock, yeah.
You can't do one and then the other. Like, Chris Evans got lucky that no one gave a shit about Fantastic Four.
I also think Cavill can do it. Henry Cavill. It's his birthday.
Shout out to his family.
Happy birthday.
He was Superman. He was also in...
He's in that Guy Ritchie movie where he plays...
The Man from Uncle, right?
Yeah, the man from...
What about the guy from...
Is he too much of, like, looking at Henry Cavill, you're like, this guy's too much of a beast. Like, he's too big and muscular and tall.
If he slims down a little bit, he can do it. But he's huge.
I don't think that guy can slim down, dude.
He's a house, bro. And I think he's overrated central. I'm like, he doesn't do it for me.
He's like first team. He's first team All-NBA charisma.
What about Jamie Dorn?
And it's gotten him a long way.
Jamie Dorn?
Overrated
for sure.
For Shades of Grey.
He's... What about the guy from Charlie Hunnam?
Charlie Hunnam?
Hunnam.
Yeah. He was great in The Gentlemen.
Oh, I love that movie.
He's great.
They're making a sequel.
He's more of like...
Actually, they're making a series, I think.
But I say to that, like, if you can't have... our boy Alfie Solomons. Like, if you're going to say no to Alfie Solomons,
you got to say no to Charlie Hunnam.
You got to say no to Charlie Hunnam.
That is a different actor, bro.
And it's a different
they're,
actor.
They're very similar
they,
style.
They have the, like,
one of them Tom is Hardy. Like, one of them it could, like, is
they
like,
have the Bad Streets of London vibe, though, the two of them. I know Hunnam's a little bit more, like, pretty boy.
One of them's like, hey, like, one of them's like cheeky, like, wink, wink, bad boy. The other one is like, put your shit in the bag, yeah, bad boy.
Put some cigarettes on my skin.
Here's a gun. Here's a knife. Pick a hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we veered off a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, whatever. We're actors. We're allowed to talk about it.
I think it's a fun conversation. Yeah, we threw out a bunch of different names.
Yeah, a slew of different names. Let me ask you this about speaking of names. Surprises in baseball thus far.
Good and bad, right?
Good and bad. Okay. Give me some good and bad surprises.
Not a surprise for me.
Yeah.
Nick's team is putting the work in on Josh's team in fantasy this week.
There's an issue. Let me mention this quickly. Herman Marquez threw probably the worst game of the year. And John Means threw
that
a no-hitter.
Wasn't going to save you, but...
It hurts. I mean, John Means throwing a no-hitter is good. I mean, I'm supposed to have Soto back this week. He's not playing today. It's just like an awful start to the week.
Some surprises, though. There's a lot of surprising teams that are doing really well this season. And you know,
are you surprised by, like, are you hitting that at the Royals?
I wasn't surprised about the Royals. We kind of previewed that they'd be a good sneaky team, but definitely surprised by the Giants. I think that they're putting on a good performance. They're first place around the NL West. And that looks like right now the most competitive division in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Padres, Dodgers, Giants, and also Arizona's not playing bad baseball. But, you know, I was already on board with the Cardinals being number one. They're number one right now. I was on board with Philly being number one. They're number one right now. Oakland, number one right now. I think the Angels, they can kind of put together. I don't know. They're not great right now, but White Sox are getting destroyed by injuries right now.
Yeah.
So that sucks. But your team, Boston, I mean.
That's my big pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's a great surprise. I mean we're pitching the lights out.
Hitting the lights out of the place. Verdugo's been excellent. We're pitching a lot better than I anticipated. I will say we did call the Royals. You were on the Phillies. That's my big disappointment is that division.
Yeah, not very competitive right now.
Buckle up and pull away. I mean, the Braves cannot pitch. The Nationals cannot hit. The Mets, and the Nationals have no Soto. The Mets, no excuse, can't hit. Lindor has been booed.
They should just create a super team.
The Phillies have been, like, hot and cold. Like, there's games where they're great. Like, Wheeler comes in, pitches a great game. Wheeler comes in, pitches a bad game. I'm telling you, the only team with plus differential and runs scored versus runs allowed in that entire division is the Marlins.
Wow. That's crazy. And they're at the bottom of the division.
And they're at the bottom of their division.
They're only two games back, though.
And they're not afraid to make a move. They went and got Starling Marte last year. If they need bats, because that pitching is good, they're getting Alicia Hernandez back. He's going to be like a 4-5 starter for them. Their pitching is deep.
Someone's going to be available.
Look, who are the teams
that
are the
bottom? Go out and get Gallo. Go out and get Chris Bryant.
Go get Chris Bryant. I mean, that's a game changer right there. Miami could pay him. He needs to be paid, by the way.
He does.
He's been excellent. Yeah. A big surprise for me as well, negatively, and then I'll kind of just veer off. The Twins. It's so ironic.
So to stay on the Twins, a good surprise for me, Buxton.
Yes.
Byron Buxton's playing out of his mind right now. I would say he's number two, maybe three right now in the MVP race in the AL. I mean, Trout's crushing it, but
do we really think that's the case though? Can we not say he's number one? Is that insane?
I think Trout's number one, and I think Buxton's a close two.
It's just that team. It's so ironic that I mean, we kind of had previewed as well that team was going to be disappointing. They're the Ravens as of late. I know, like not like fan base wise, like notoriety wise, like the team that's so good in the regular season then gets the playoffs and just gets subsequently bounced.
Buxton's hitting 381 as of right now.
Crazy.
With 9 home runs, 17 RBIs, and 4 stolen bases. And he's playing like a gold glove center fielder.
Leading the league in war.
Yep.
He's playing. Did you see his catch last 2 nights ago?
Oh, yeah. He sent it to me. The thing is, I'm not surprised. A lot of people are I'm surprised in this sense, but I'm not surprised that he's putting together such a great season because he was the number one prospect in baseball for so long.
Number two overall pick.
People were wondering when this guy was going to pop off, and he's 27 years old now. It's finally coming together.
Look, we say it all the time. Is Jerkson Profar an elite talent? Absolutely not. Can he play almost every position on the baseball field other than catcher? Yes.
And he has been.
Is that valuable? Yes. Is he a decent enough hitter where you can slot him in at the 7, maybe 6 spot? Yes. He steals bases? Yes. So he does bring some value. He's not the prospect he once was, but teams were patient with him. The Twins were patient with Buxton. We see in the NBA all the time. People lose. You got the teams that kind of rue the day is they're the teams that are not patient.
Yeah,
patience is king.
It's good that they're patient with Buxton because, man, they really struggled.
The Knicks could have traded Julius Randle this offseason, but they believed in him. The Lakers let him go too early. Other teams let him walk. They weren't patient with him. The Blazers, I say it all the time, were so patient with C.J. McCollum. No one wrote him off. His first two seasons were not good. His third season, he came out like gangbusters.
Negative surprise for me.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with any team or any player.
Yep.
It's the baseball. The actual ball itself.
What's your issue?
They took the juice away. They made these balls so much harder to hit. The rate of home runs per game is down. It's right now it's at 1.17 home runs per game. Mm-hmm. Last year was at 1.28. The year before that was at 1.39. Mm-hmm. It's making the game far less exciting. There was that one year where people thought the balls were juiced because more balls are flying out at a higher rate. But this year it's like there's so many hard hit balls that just die in the outfield.
Well, I think it's come back to life a little bit.
Got two no-hitters pretty quickly, though.
Three. Perfect game and two no-hitters.
Perfect game.
No, sorry. Was there a perfect game? No, perfect Rendon game. Didn't. He hit a batter, right?
He hit a guy in his
back. So three no-hitters so far.
Yeah. Yeah, Musgrove, Carlos Rodon.
That's that warning track power. Yeah. Every time I've turned a baseball game on, normally what happens is I turn a baseball game on and the first batter I watch smashes a home run. No. Normally what I'm saying.
And this year, they caught on the warning track.
Warning track power.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite thing to say when I'm watching baseball.
I don't mind it, dude. Come back to life a little bit. It was so insane. I'm sick of it can't be everything a million home runs. It can't be everybody scoring 25 points a game. But you know what?
Like, baseball is trying so hard to grow their audience and try to become more exciting.
Yeah.
And people want to see the long ball. That's why the home run derby is such a fun competition to watch. People want to see these players smash 50 home runs in a year.
Absolutely.
Without steroids, of course. But like, let's put the ball in play and let's make him go out of the yard. I think that's the most exciting thing in baseball to see. I mean, people go, if you go to a game, right?
Yeah.
And it's a 2-0 shutout. Yeah. That game is way less entertaining
than an
8-7 with like five bombs.
Yeah. That is very true. I want to see.
I will say, as someone who's not as much of an avid baseball fan compared to you two guys,
yeah,
I think my favorite thing to watch in a highlight form is an amazing play. Not a home run.
Being acrobatic and diving, laying out, making a sick throw.
The web gems, and that's what I've been seeing a lot on social, just like repopulating. You were talking about Buxton's catch. It just shows what kind of tremendous athletes these guys are.
The winner of the year is MLB social media team. I'm not even kidding. The MLB social media, I want to shout
They're
them
always
out.
On it.
I'm going to DM them and be like, hey, look, this is who we are. We don't want anything from y'all. I just want to let you guys know y'all are crushing it. Sometimes you got to let people know.
Seems self-serving, but yeah.
I'm down. But yeah, maybe we'll get something out of it. I don't know.
Shout out to your families.
The issue with that, though, in-game, they're not as like, you kind of need to see it replayed.
Right. Yeah, of course.
The home run is like, boom, you see it happens.
The entire crowd erupts. I think right off the bat that it's gone.
You miss like you when we see the replays of some of these like some of these pitchers, their movement on their pitchers or the speed they do it.
The inches on the slider movement.
Yeah,
inches
on the slider.
MLB finally giving us the statistics that we want.
I almost picked up Anton. I swear to God. but
go watch our TikTok.
I think baseball has been. I mean, I'm happy with where it's at, but there's been a lot of. I think there's a lot of. It's kind of even Stevens right now, minus the Tigers.
In
the Rockies.
What is a more pressure moment?
Yeah.
This might not be. I want to put all three of our major sports in there.
Yeah.
But I think I know which one clearly goes to. An extra point, a free throw, or a 3-2 count.
3-2 count.
What game on the line?
No, just like your run-of-the-mill. But that's the thing about a 3-2 count, which I think is really cool, is that like, if you're a batter, you don't know the next time that you're coming up. If it's a pitching duel and you know your team scores zero runs the entire game, you're probably only seeing three, maybe four at-bats. In which case, you get a 3-2 count, like you better take advantage.
I think you gotta put it in context of like who's on base, like what the score is, how many outs there are, and all that.
Let's raise the stakes.
Also, like, is it the extra point? Are you tied? Are you down by one? You know, same thing with a free throw. Like,
let's call it game on the line.
Game on the line, separated by a point each.
You're down by one.
So you're down by 1 point with an extra point. You're down by 1 point with a free throw. With no time on the clock for both these. And
no, how about
bottom of the ninth, down by one, man.
No, no,
on
no,
third.
Not down by one. How about you're tied?
I'm so still, the extra my, point. My answer's still the same.
And it is?
Extra point.
You're tied 20 to 20.
I think
20.
They're all the same.
I think look you get out you make out on like a full count like it happens. You miss that free throw. Free throw is pretty.
I actually
bad.
Think the free throw is probably thinking about it. If in all the scenarios, free so the extra bad. Point if you kick the extra point, your team wins by one. Yeah. The free throw you make the second end of a 1-1 or whatever, your team, or it's going. An or it's an and one. And it's tied and you have one free throw.
Yeah.
And then you have baseball, full count, two outs. Yeah. Bases loaded.
Yeah, whatever. Your chances of
you can hit the ball anywhere and potentially get a hit. Well, the free throw. But, no, you got one cylinder to make yeah. it. And that's
I'm just
it.
Saying that with baseball, though, the chances of getting a hit or driving that run in are way less likely than hitting that free throw.
Yeah, it's more forgivable.
True.
More forgiving.
Like, unless you got like a 50% free throw shooter out there,
Ben Wallace from the line.
Depending on who you got at in the batter's box, who is maybe a 200 hitter, 250 hitter. You know,
right.
Like,
well, even if Ben Wallace is a 43% career free throw shooter and he's at the line, he just got the and one, whoever
chance.
Has the best OBP is like right there, right? They're barely at the same percentage
right,
as him.
Right.
All I know is this.
But pressure-wise,
I've never
kicking.
I've sure. never seen, you miss a free throw, people are pissed, but it happens. You miss
but
it,
you
get
miss
out.
A field goal.
If you miss a field goal, people, like, well, you're going to have like that
what's
guy.
What's one job?
That one guy on our show, Blair Walsh, was going to come on a show. He wouldn't even talk about like the kick that he missed.
It's,
can't,
look,
it's like
you have,
scarring.
That's
never
their one job, and
job, yeah.
you only got 16 games,
yeah.
and the fan bases are a little bit more out there, I feel like, in football than they are
is
in baseball.
Is it last for you?
Less forgiving. No, I just think it's a fun question.
It's a great question. But yeah, the football fan bases are...
They're crazy.
Look, I've also never kicked an extra point in a live football game. I've had a late-game free throw to make. I've had a 3-2 count, and a 3-2 count is like... Shit, I really want to get on base right
now. I
here.
Mean, if you want to get tricky with it, I mean, if we go to, like, soccer and you're in penalty kicks and...
Oh, PKs?
You're tied and this is the last kick. If you miss that kick...
But I think that the one thing that you... Like, it's similar to a free throw in the sense that, like, you control the variables in that. You know, you're the one that's kicking it. Free throw, same thing. Like, you're the one that's looking down the lane... At the rim.
Right.
Good baseball's question, tough because it's like you got a guy whipping at 97.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It's a good question, though.
Great question. It's a good question to end this show on. Really fun. Fan questions, welcome back. A basketball talk, basketball playoffs coming out. We did have a request in our DMs to do a top 25 NBA current. We could do a graphic. We could do a show. Those are always fun.
Whew. I think that, yeah, a bunch of people just put out their top 25. It's tough. There's more than 25 good players. I think it needs to change to
top
30 or 35.
Yeah, we can make some adjustments, include everybody. All right, fans out there, drag both feet and bounce, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, at your PKs because they free, and your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they are free. Also, though.
Yeah, yes.
Also, I think it's important to remind everyone that summer is...
Oh, nice.
It's on the horizon, and with summer comes the sun.
Here comes the sun.
And one thing about the sun is that it's blinding, and it hurts your eyes. You don't want to look directly at the sun, and that's why you need to get Canon sunglasses because they're made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger, and Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. So use the exclusive code CanonCast15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off on your first pair. That's Canon, K-A-E-N-O-N, Cast, K-C-A-S-T, 15, Canon. Clearly better.
Half Japanese, half Italian.
Yeah, blinded nice. By the sun.
It's a good mix.
It's like an off-brand unit. Blinded by the sun.
Presented by Bet Online.
Presented by Bet Online. Oh, hit your free throws because they're free. We got you. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. We in here talking about practice.
Clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.